Dan, what we got on the board? Dan and I liked this week. He didn't have to change hardly anything. Let me tell you where we are today. We're down at the bottom on the left, a time of persecution. And there's three major points, but several smaller points underneath that. And one of the things we're going to see this morning is that mobs and marches and trade unions and are not new. Here we are in Paul's day, A.D. 61, when Luke wrote this account of the third missionary journey. And as I even have in my own notes, I wonder how many hundreds of years prior to this there were trade unions, guilds, mobs, and marches. I'm sure this is certainly not the first one. But here's where we last left the Apostle Paul. He was preparing to return to Jerusalem. But he was in Ephesus, and so before he left, he thought, why don't I just cross over to Europe and visit one final time on my way home the region of Achaia and Macedonia. Then I'll make my way back to Jerusalem, and after that, I want to see Rome. Now, what I've just said is in verses 21 and 22 of chapter 19. Let's start there as a launching pad, if you will, for today. I realize we looked at these last week, but that's fine. It'll bring us up to date. Now, after these things were finished, Paul purposed in the Spirit to go to Jerusalem after he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia, saying to himself, basically, after I've been there meaning Jerusalem, I must also see Rome. One of the things you can know for sure in your knowledge of Paul and his efforts is that it was always his intent to go to Rome. In fact, it could have been the fourth missionary journey. And we always concentrate on Paul's three missionary journeys. It's just that he didn't go there like he thought he was going to go there. And we're going to look at that in the coming weeks. But Luke says under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, after I've been there, meaning back in Jerusalem, Paul said, I must also see Rome. Now, having sent into Macedonia two of those who ministered to him, Timothy and Erastus, he stayed in Asia. Read there, if you will, Ephesus. He stayed in Ephesus for a while. So he sent two emissaries ahead to prepare the way for his coming over to, specifically, he was going to go back to Corinth. And but the Bible chooses to talk about the region, okay? Now, having set the stage for that, something happened. And we're going to look first at 23 through 26 to determine the whole thing. Then we'll break it down and talk about it just a little. About that time, there occurred no small disturbance concerning the way. For a man named Demetrius, a silversmith, who made silver shrines of Artemis, was bringing no little business to the craftsmen. And these he gathered, that is to say, these craftsmen he gathered together with the workmen of similar trades, and said to them, men, you know that our prosperity depends upon this business. You see and hear, that not only in Ephesus, but in almost all of Asia, this Paul has persuaded and turned away a considerable number of people, saying that gods made with hands are no gods at all. Get in a lot of trouble for speaking the truth, can't you? Here we have a man named Demetrius. I love the way Luke puts this. For some reason, there was no small disturbance, and there was no little business coming in. To put it mildly, they had a big business making these little shrines to Artemis. And the impact of the gospel had been so powerful that people had stopped buying these little things and certainly stopped taking them to the temple to have them blessed by her. And business had fallen off a great deal, so much so. Well, you remember the old country saying, a hit dog will holler. A hit dog will holler. Demetrius was hit, and so was the craftsman who also made these little things. And it was impacting negatively their income. And so these trade unions, these guilds, he called them all together. And you can see that what we see today, people marching in the streets of wherever, it's not new. It happened right here in AD 61, and probably hundreds of years before that, we just don't know about it. But Luke did record this event. It was obvious, I hope it's obvious to you, that the riot we are about to see, one of the causes is wealth or money or lack of it specifically. But there's a second cause, not just wealth, but worship. Let me show you the second reason. He's already talked about money through verse 26, and now he's going to talk about in verse 27 and about worship. He says, not only is there danger that this trade of ours will fall into disrepute, that goes to the money, but also that the temple of the great goddess Artemis be regarded as worthless, and that she whom all of Asia and the world worship will even be dethroned from her magnificence. Got a question for you. Who in the world is Artemis? We got a couple of Bibles in here that say Diana. The great temple of Diana. Let me tell you who this really was. First of all, it was one of, at that time, one of the seven wonders of the ancient world, the temple itself. There are remnants of it still there today. But she was not the chaste huntress of Greek mythology. She was ugly and repulsive and deemed to have come down in a meteorite and hit the earth, and that meteorite was in the shape of a many-breasted woman. And the worship that went on there was lewd and licentious. And the soldiers especially would come, buy these little trinkets, so too would the tourists, and buy these little trinkets and go into the temple to have them blessed. The soldiers went for other reasons. And so it was a bad situation. But if you want to get into a good fight, just bring up religion. And that's what Demetrius did. He said, not only is our wealth falling off, but they're about to ruin our worship. That's the word in the Bible, of a little god made with hands. He says, heaven forbid. The world may think that what we make with our hands is no god at all. You think? And so that's the setup. That's the problem we have here. Those are the two causes of the riot. Let's pick up at 28. Here's the reaction, the commotion, if you will, from the craftsmen. And when they heard this, that is, when they heard the words of Demetrius, they were filled with rage and began crying out. It's really a chant is what's going on here. Great is Artemis of the Ephesians. And the city was filled with confusion. And they rushed with one accord into the theater. Now I'm going to pause there and tell you that this was an open air theater that could seat between 20 and 25,000 people. This was like an area for the Olympics. And what they did was they drug along with them into that open air theater Gaius and Aristarchus, I guess, Paul's traveling companions from Macedonia. And they were about to receive the brunt of the anger of the mob. And Paul, brave man that he was, wanted to rush in and stop this madness. But some people, in fact, some in very high places, spoke up and said, Paul, don't do this. You're going to be hurt also. Paul wanted to go. Look what the Bible says. And verse 30. And when Paul wanted to go into the assembly, brave man that he was, the disciples would not let him. And here's where I say he had friends in high places. Look at verse 31. And also some of the Asiarchs who were friends of his sent to him. That means they sent word to him and repeatedly urged him not to venture into the theater. One of the most dangerous things going is a mob mentality. When it gets heated, when it gets fired up, there is a lot of danger. Reason goes out the window, and the Bible speaks of that. In fact, Luke just calls it confusion. I wonder what some other words might be. We already have read they were filled with rage. And the whole city, Luke writes, was thrown into confusion. Some shouting one thing and some another. But the majority did not know for what reason they had come together. Let me ask you a question. How many times have you wanted to stick a microphone in front of the face of some of these marchers in America? What are you doing here? What is the point today? Why are you marching? I don't think they'd be able to tell you their name, much less why they're there, except, well, I was paid to be here. I was drug along by my friend. And I've got some money in my front pocket. It's why I'm here. But for the cause, oh, just like these people. The majority, he says, the greater part, did not even know why they were there. Now, this is a situation going on during this time. And it's a dangerous time. Apparently, they were mostly Jewish people, and the Jews recognized they were in danger. And for some reason, they chose one of their leaders to speak to the crowd. That didn't go well. Look with me. Now, you got to remember, we've just read that the majority did not even know for what reason they had come together. But some in the crowd concluded it was Alexander. Now, a better translation there, I believe, is in the King James. Was it, but drawing out Alexander? Is that Mary what it reads?
They drew Alexander.
In other words, they put him forward to address the crowd and try to calm it down. And he thought he could do so with just a wave of his hand. Look. And he motioned with his hand, intending to make a defense to the assembly. Is it clear that anti-Semitism was not only going on heavy then, but folks, it is today? I don't know if you even heard. It was just broadcast this morning. I prayed about it earlier. We've had 12 Jews killed, many more wounded, on the first day of Hanukkah this morning. Yes, ma'am. And it's in Australia. And it's a bad situation down there. Yeah, it was just happened this morning. But anti-Semitism is raising its ugly little head right now more frequently than I've seen in a long time. Well, they tried the same thing here. Unfortunately, they chose a Jew to wave to the mob. And with a wave of his hand, he was saying, basically, let me have your attention. I want to say something. That didn't go very far. Look what happened. But when they recognized, verse 34, but when they recognized that he was a Jew, a single outcry arose from them all. And they shouted for 2 hours, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians." My goodness, can you imagine that? That's a long time to chant. And all through those verses is the cause of the riot. That's what's going on. Thank goodness one of their own spoke up with both reason and warning. And that's what made the riot collapse. It picks up in verse 35. Now, all we have is Luke's word like this: after quieting the crowd, the town clerk said. Now, let's pause a moment. First of all, the town clerk is more likely analogous to what we would call today a mayor of the city. He was the go-between between the community and Rome, and Rome overruled everything. So he was probably very adept at speaking. He was one who could go between the city and the Romans with trustworthiness. He possibly was dressed in a certain way that they recognized who he was. I don't know that. Luke only tells us after quieting the crowd. How did he do that? Well, I think they recognized him. I think he may have had on his regal or royal civilian robes, and they understood who he was that was talking to them. So he got their attention. And let me show you the two things he did to collapse the riot. First, he appealed to what everyone knew anyway and quieted them down with just a word of reason. He said to them, "Men of Ephesus, what man is there, after all, who does not know that the city of the Ephesians is the guardian of the temple of the great Artemis and of the image which fell down from heaven?" That's what I meant earlier about the meteorite. That's what they were talking about. He said, the whole world knows this. Don't be concerned that people are going to no longer come here. Everybody knows that Ephesus is where you come to worship Artemis. He furthermore said, since this is an undeniable fact, you ought to keep calm and do nothing rash. Now he's making a transition from reason to a warning. I think this is about the time that he casts a cold eye toward Demetrius. He addresses, look, with his name. For you have brought these men here who are neither robbers of temples, they are not blasphemous of our goddess. So then, if Demetrius and the craftsmen who are with him have a complaint against any man, the courts are in session. The proconsul will hear them. Let them bring their charges against one another. Now a little sober cold water is on the mob. And they're thinking, you know, the whole world does know that here at Ephesus is where the great temple of Diana is. This is the place. And after all, we've pulled Gaius in here, and what has he done? He hasn't robbed our temples. He's not blasphemed Artemis. But he takes it one step further. And this affects him as well as the people. He says, but if you want anything beyond this, it shall be settled in lawful assembly. For indeed, we are in danger of being accused of a riot in connection with today's events, since there is no real cause for it. And in this connection, we will be unable to account for this disorderly gathering. One thing they didn't want is Rome coming down on them. If you couldn't rule your community or province, well, Rome would come down on you and replace you in a heartbeat. One thing they wanted was order. And they were not having it in this riot. And with those, well, the warning, and about Rome coming in too, and the fact that no one had done anything worthy of a crime, he dismissed the assembly. And they all went back to their homes and things had quieted down. That's how the riot collapsed. But there were consequences of it. Look at chapter 20, verse 1. And after the uproar had ceased, Paul sent for the disciples, and when he had exhorted them and taken his leave of them, he left to go over to Macedonia. You see, Paul's intent was still the same. I want to go back to Jerusalem, but since I'm so close to Europe, I'm going to go by land this time, up through Macedonia, down to Achaia, visit those people at Corinth and Athens, and then back home, which is the dotted red line. He's going home on the dotted red line. And we'll take a ship eventually and back over to Tyre. There is a fourth journey. Some scholars debate whether or not we don't have it in the Bible, or whether it was indeed the trip to Rome, but not as Paul planned. He wanted to go and evangelize. He was looking forward not only to Rome, but using Rome as a springboard for Spain. And God had other plans. There's several things I believe we can take from this, but let me just give you one about mob mentality. I made a couple of notes here. Give me a moment. I want to find it. Here's a quote about things like that that go on. And this is from Dr. John Phillips. I think you might appreciate. Entrenched wickedness is always militant towards the gospel. When the gospel begins to make an impact on cleansing society. Entrenched wickedness is militant toward the gospel when the gospel makes an impact on cleaning up that which is wrong in society. Let me give you true life examples that all of you are familiar with in one way or another. After I read that quote by Dr. Phillips, my thoughts went to Planned Parenthood and their vicious and unwarranted attacks on private citizens standing on a sidewalk, which is public space, telling young women who are abortion-minded that there's another way, a better way. They're simply trying to warn these young women of the potential dangers, physical and psychological, that can occur. Issues that might do them harm for the rest of their lives. Apparently, it is okay for Planned Parenthood to say that abortions is safe, readily available, and an acceptable way to prevent an unplanned pregnancy, but they want to shut down any opposing view. They'd agree with that. How some of these people get elected in this country scares me to death, because it's not just that they are fools. But the people who put them there are the fools with their votes. And then we suffer the consequences of it. But not adhering to God's word. Shame on us. Well, I don't want to leave it on just a negative note. Strongly feel about some of our public institutions. I guess you've read with understanding this week how many billions of your tax dollars have gone to Somalia. Folks, that's not an accident. Somebody didn't accidentally hit a wrong keystroke and divert that money from those who needed it to those who are stealing it. Would to God that we could find people with backbone in our government to stand up against what we see and know. We're not fools out here. They think we are. They think we don't know anything, but we do. But it's hard to take 40 voices up there when we send a representative up there. He or she needs to speak what we believe. I personally am, and you know I'm in favor of the present administration in general, but folks, when they want to come out of there with an announcement that nurses are not professionals, and should not have professional letters after their name, that's stupid. Yes, Peggy, that happened this week. That's stupid. And if you hadn't been on the phone to call your representative and tell him or her to undo that, you should. Nurses are professional people. They don't go through 2 days of training. Years and years of medical training. And they probably don't get but about 2 strikes before they're out. You make a mistake there, somebody can die. Well, I'm on my high horse now and not on the lesson, but these thoughts came to me as I studied this lesson this week. Georgia, we've got to do that. Well, we're going to stop right here. We're going to pick up at chapter 20 of Acts next year. And I look forward to being with you. Judy and I want to thank you for being a wonderful class. And we want to wish all of y'all a Merry Christmas. And we hope that you and your family enjoy some special time together. If you need, for any reason, though, want to call or need to call over the holidays, folks, call me. I'm here. I'm not going anywhere. If you want me to pray with you, if we got an issue, I'm here. Call me. It's not an imposition.
Even at 9:30 at night.
That's right. It's okay to do that. Your call is welcome always. Let's close in prayer. And now, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your wonderful word. Thank you for the clarity of it, how it's presented by Dr. Luke. We thank you for helping us understand that Christianity is indeed different because it's not about a rite or a ritual, but about a ruler, a person who loves us and a person who wants the best for us and a person who wants us to live with him forever and forever. And we thank you for the word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.